This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio. Good morning, I'm Mitch Tyne.
And I'm Bonnie North. For decades, the level of racial disparity in Wisconsin has been a serious concern. Whether it's education, income, or general quality of life, Black Wisconsinites continue to do worse than their white counterparts.
A new report from Madison-based think tank, the Center on Wisconsin Strategy, or COWS, takes a deep dive into the numbers and outlines different metrics of measuring the state's level of disparity. The outcome is, unfortunately, unsurprising. Wisconsin ranks as one of the worst states in the nation for Black-white disparity in nearly every category.
Laura Dresser is one of the authors of the report and the associate director of COWS. She spoke with Lake Effect's Joy Powers and began by dispelling some of the common myths about racial disparity here in Wisconsin.
I think there are two things that people tend to think that I hope this paper helps change. And one is that, well, you know, every state in the nation has racial inequality. Wisconsin's like every other state. And in fact, actually, that's not true. Wisconsin, if you measure the disparity, the gap between outcomes for whites and outcomes for blacks, you get a bigger gap than almost anywhere else in the country. So that's the first thing people should take home. But the other one, yeah, is like you said, in 1979, these statistics didn't look like this. Actually, African Americans in the state earned slightly more than national average wages for African Americans. And so in 1979, it was not one of the worst states in the nation for African Americans to be. That emerged and evolved over time. And that suggests how important economic opportunity and policy are to thinking about solving the problem.
Do we have a clear picture of how we got here?
Many people have spent a lot of time doing research on figuring out exactly how we got here. Any story, I think, almost necessarily will talk about union production and high-wage manufacturing production opportunities along the lakeshore, Milwaukee and south into Racine, the ways that those open doors to middle-class opportunity for white and black production workers in the state across the 70s and 80s, but especially for African Americans in the 80s as that industry collapsed, as those jobs were lost, the African Americans were the first to lose them and disproportionately suffered that manufacturing reconstruction. And that is, I think, any story of black-white disparity in the state would have to take that into account. We have ended up with very high levels of residential segregation, which puts the African-American community further away from jobs. We have other things that perpetuate and continue to extend the problem. And, of course, as I said, many people have done a lot of research of it. I don't think there's a single silver bullet. There's a lot of things that went on. But part of the story goes back to that economic opportunity and the way it shifted in the 1980s.
Let's get a little bit into the numbers here. Recently, Governor Walker was touting an unemployment rate that is down to 4% overall. But unless a lot has changed since 2015, it seems that number is really more reflective of Wisconsin's white population than anything else.
Yeah. Anytime you look at a overall statistic for the state of Wisconsin, you're going to be looking almost at the statistic for whites in the state, because more than 85% of the information going into that average is coming from white population, right? So we don't have giant minority populations, about 5-6% African-American, about the same Latino. So an average unemployment rate for whites in the state now is just barely below 4%. And for African-Americans in the state, three times higher, basically 12%. So still at recession levels of unemployment, above 1 in 10 workers looking for work, actively seeking work and unable to find a job. That's true of only fewer than 1 in 20 white workers and more than 1 in 10 black workers.
Now, how does that compare to the national average?
Well, that makes us the third most disparate state in the nation. That gap between the white outcome and the black outcome. Tennessee is the state with this where those two unemployment rates are closest together. Whites are still more likely to have jobs, to not be unemployed, but blacks are only a little more likely to be unemployed in Tennessee. In Minnesota, blacks are nearly five times as likely as whites to be unemployed. And so that's one of the states that's worse.
One of the things that you measured was the labor force participation. Can you explain what that means?
Yeah, you look at all the adults, all the people who could be working, working age adults, and then count the ones who are in the labor force. This includes both those who are looking for jobs but cannot find them and those who are working. And you divide that by the whole population. The way economic opportunity works also is that at some point people give up looking for work. Work is so unattainable, inaccessible, that they quit looking or otherwise just cannot connect to the labor market. So Wisconsin has overall a pretty high labor force participation rate, higher than the national average, especially driven by a very high relative labor force participation rate of white women. But we also have a fairly low black labor force participation rate. And it is not the case, you know, this is one where in some states, actually, the black labor force participation rate is higher than the white labor force participation rate. So it isn't always, you know, wages almost always, the African-American wage averages are lower. But in the case of labor force participation, some places it's higher, some places it's lower. The disparity between the high levels of work of whites in this state versus the kind of lower levels of labor force participation of blacks in the state, that disparity is second worst in the nation. Only Illinois has its biggest disparity.
Okay. Another thing you looked at was median household income. How does black median household income compare to white households in Wisconsin?
So that's another one where there's a big disparity. Household includes families, you know, people who are related living together in a housing unit. That's a family by census definition. It also includes single people. That's a household. If they live in their own housing unit, that's a household. Or unrelated people living together. Anyway, that's what the household means. And white households in Wisconsin, the median, that is the household income, if you kind of line it up from highest to lowest and then pick the one right in the middle, you'd find a household with about $58,000 of annual income. And if you do the same with the black households in the state and pick the one exactly in the middle, the household income there is $29,000, basically half the white household income. And that disparity, again, only two states are further apart, is the white and black population further apart than that 50%.
The rate of poverty among black Wisconsinites was also pretty astounding, particularly when we consider children living in poverty. Can you talk about that a bit?
Yeah, more than 4 in 10 black kids in the state live in poverty. And you can kind of see that with that 29,000 as the median income is getting pretty close to the four-person family poverty line. The poverty rate for children under 18 is 44% in the state, and that is high by national standards. The white rate is 12%, which is sort of low by national standards. So our disparity, which that black kids are 3.8 times as likely as white kids to be in poverty in this state, that is, again, the third highest difference in the nation. In Texas, for example, black children are only 30% more likely, not three times more likely, to be in poverty than white kids.
You included a look at lack of health insurance. And actually, this was a place where it seems Wisconsin, in general, our health insurance, our rates of having health insurance are relatively high.
Yeah. I mean, it's true that what we're measuring here is the disparity of, you know, the overall white health insurance coverage rate versus the black coverage rate. It is true that in Wisconsin, our rate of health insurance coverage is relatively high, partly because our employers have consistently extended insurance to workers a little bit better than most states, and partly because our public system has been strong, although relative to other states, that advantage has fallen a little bit, especially across the last 3 or 4 years with other states embracing ACA a little more actively. Anyway, but yeah, so 5% of whites have no health insurance from any public or private source, and nearly 9% of blacks no health insurance. And so if you look at that ratio, then there's six states in the country where the ratio of black to white insurance is more disparate than that. But there are states where actually blacks are more likely to have health insurance than whites, including California.
When we look at educational disparities, which are something we're very concerned about here in Milwaukee especially,
yeah,
what does that look like?
Again, this is one where we move instead of from being like second or third, maybe, to often the most disparate in the nation. Here, for example, the percentage of kids that are graduating, and this is calculated in consistent ways by the Federal Department of Education, the black graduation rate in the state, about 64%. The white graduation rate in the state, 93%. Again, a relatively good rate for the big share of the Wisconsin population that is white. The school's working pretty well there, better than the national average. But then that 64% rate for the black population is pretty low. And the disparity, to see that big a gap between the two, it makes us the worst in the nation.
Mm.
And the state of Alabama, for example, the graduation rates for their black and white populations are basically the same.
It seems like when we compare ourselves to other states, the only state that might be doing a little worse is Minnesota.
Yes, and they're not doing worse on schools, it's interesting to note. They are doing worse on those economic indicators, the disparity between their black and white populations. Minnesota is the one. Iowa sometimes stands out in that crowd as well. And then and Illinois on one of them, on the labor force participation.
On labor force. But when we look at the black population in Minnesota, if my understanding is accurate, a lot of the people there are refugees.
I think that's correct. And so, you know, I'm not an expert and I haven't done the comparison, but I think the view from the outside would be the disparity in Minnesota might look different if you sort of split it by U.S.-born blacks and immigrants, and then that we generate, you know, disparity equivalent to that without that kind of black immigrant population is obviously a concern. That level of disparity, even if it is generated for an immigrant population, is probably still of concern. But maybe you think over time it's going to get better, right? Because immigrants tend to improve their status over time. And what we're seeing here is stats that have gotten worse since 1979. And don't look to be turning into a better direction yet.
I mean, if anything, it seems like things continue to become more disparate. Do we see any politicians who are really trying to mend the gap in any way?
You know, I think trying to mend the gap is really about, well, about a lot of things, but I don't know them all. But I'd be really interested in a political approach focused on making sure that Milwaukee public schools worked for students and didn't just end up in this kind of focus on whether they're public or private, which has had very little impact on quality of outcomes for students. You know, if we were really focused on investing for the students in the public school system, where most of the students are, I think that would be one place I'd look for an approach focused on the schools and really doing some serious investment in Milwaukee public schools, thinking hard about transportation in Milwaukee so that folks who need public access to public transportation can get to jobs, and thinking about also a longer-term plan of reducing some of the serious economic segregation and housing segregation in the city of Milwaukee would all matter a lot.
You know, when I first moved to Milwaukee about a year ago, actually from Chicago, a colleague of mine sent me an article that, through a number of metrics, declared Milwaukee the worst place in the nation to raise a black child.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think we're doing anything right now to move away from that image?
I mean, obviously, a lot of people are working hard, you know, inside of Milwaukee and in Wisconsin with the interest of improving lives of black kids in mind. And that includes, you know, social service organizations and politicians. There's a lot of people who care about this. I think the background condition of not having sufficient resources to invest in the infrastructure that would make Black kids' lives better, you know, the political fight that we have over resources and the lack of attention to really focusing on investment in Milwaukee makes all that work that's going on harder. So I wish I saw more good news happening. I do know there are a lot of people who are trying to do something.
Well, Laura, thank you so much for joining me here on Lake Effect, and thanks for sharing your work.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Laura Dresser is the Associate Director of COWS, the Center on Wisconsin Strategy, a Madison-based think tank. She's also one of the authors of their recent report analyzing Wisconsin's extreme racial disparity. You can find a link to that report at WUWN.com.